Is there anything left to give for the Bombers? Straining every possible sinew. McGrath does his best.
Will land 75 from goal. Big pack. No one can mark.
Come on, go!
Straight to Francis. Midfield. Pushes wide for McKenna. Got pace. Got the ball.
He has a bounce. He puts it inside 50. Almost an Essendon mark. Picked up by Fantasia. Pings with a goal into the goal square.
Laverde in the square. Pulses racing everywhere. Oh, who else? McDonald. Tip and Woody.
He's kicked it.
To McDonald, Tip and Woody. He's kicked a goal. He's kicked the goal from the pocket.
McDonald, Tip and Woody kicks the goal.
No better way to kick off another big show. Hello and welcome to The Essential Listen, presented by Colonial Brewing Co. Port Melbourne. I'm Megan Huffstrate and it's great to be joined, as always, by my brilliant co-host, Rowan Connolly. And Ro, will we ever get tired of listening to that?
No, well, I'm up to, that's about 58th time for me, Meg. So it was one of the great moments in recent Essendon history. I mean, there's nothing better than... It was such a cracking game too, and to have it pan out like that, to kick the winner, you know, just 17 seconds left on the clock after the goal, it was perfect. And, yeah, it was interesting seeing the range of emotions too, and I've heard a few stories from various people who are in various places. How were you privy to the end of it?
I was on the couch and... Coco, my pug, has been on The Essential Listen before, in fact, the first ever episode, and I jumped off the couch and she flew off the couch. So I really kicked the dog off the couch. But I've certainly made that call from Fox Footy, Anthony Hudson. I love Huddo. It's my new ringtone.
Oh, really?
Yep, the call.
You're supposed to kick the dog when you lose, not when you win.
Kicked her in excitement. Sorry, Cox. What about you, Ro?
Well, I was actually at Geelong. I was doing the Geelong St Kilda game that night for 3AW. So I got down there. I watched the whole game on my phone and then on the monitor in the press box. And I was reasonably well behaved, surrounded by my colleagues, until, it's fair to say, the last minute from that sort of boundary throw in on the wing. And then I just completely lost my
marbles.
Stuff. Yes. And when the goal went through, I think I screamed out. And then I screamed out, 17 seconds, we've got to save it, we've got to save it. And it was only after the siren went, I noticed that the entire commentary box next to us, who were calling the VFL game on at that moment, was shooting me the filthiest looks you can imagine. So
haters going to hate.
I ruffled a few feathers. But how could you not get... animated and vocal about a finish like that.
No, that's true. And there's no sweeter sound than the siren in games like that, just the absolute feeling of relief.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because on the replay, which I've watched, probably 40 times, that the crowd, the roar when the siren went, that is one of the loudest spontaneous crowd eruptions I've heard. In fact, I got to the stage where I got sick of watching the goal. I was just listening to the siren and the roar. That was really heady stuff. And, you know, that's the sort of passion I think we've seen a lot recently. Same with the GWS win a couple of weeks before that. So fantastic to see from the Bomber Army.
Well, Ro, we should get into this week's episode.
Okay, well, let's do that. And some big news coming out of the club today. We've also got another special guest on the show. Fill us in.
We have a debutante, and one of our listeners called it last week with our Twitter questions. Will Snelling will make his Essendon debut in his home state tomorrow night, which is awesome. We are going to be joined by midfield coach Hayden Skipworth before he makes his way to Adelaide for the Friday night clash. And we'll have a comprehensive preview of that big game against the Crows.
A packed agenda, Megs. Plenty to get through. First, let's take a quick break and review that thrilling win over the Roos on the other side.
Welcome back to The Essential Listen. Well, it was another heart stopper on Saturday, but our boys found a way yet again. That's three wins in a row and six from our past eight. Rowan, what did you make of it against the Roos?
Well, you know, in some ways it was very similar to the previous couple of wins. You know, very competitive throughout the game. In fact, probably more dominant in this game, I reckon, on the balance of play. Wasted some opportunities in that second quarter with 2-7. But that last quarter, I mean, let's be honest, North Melbourne really dominated most of it, particularly the first, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. And once they hit the front, I'm sure I wasn't alone in thinking, oh, this isn't looking good, because it really was one-way traffic. They had 10 of the first 11 inside 50s in the last quarter. So they get in front. I thought, gee, they're probably going to end up winning this by a couple of goals at least. But again, that Essendon resilience really presented itself, and we soaked up that much pressure. Outstanding work by the defensive group in that last quarter. And then, to be honest, the last, oh, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, I felt it was Essendon actually probably controlling most of the footy. So, yeah, funnily enough, I'm the eternal pessimist, but I sort of had a vibe that when they started attacking in that last couple of minutes that a score was coming. So in terms of how the game panned out, you know, statistically, certainly I thought the numbers were really good. You know, we won the clearances by 10. We had 21 more tackles, which I thought was almost the most significant stat seen North or a side who everyone has talked about over the last 5 or 6 weeks have really toughened up their game. So that was a clear win. 61 inside 50s to 50, so certainly created heaps of scoring opportunities. As I said, though, just conversion again, 2-7 in the second quarter. So probably should have led by more at half time and again at three-quarter time. But then to be headed like that and come back the way they did, fantastic.
I don't reckon you could be any happier as an Essendon supporter at the moment. We've won three by 10 points or less since the West Coast game, so now 9-7, and we continue to be up against it, you know, backs to the wall. We've got injuries to crucial players, and we've found ourselves behind and fought back, you know, to get the lead, hit the front against trying circumstances and continue, you know, to get it done. And I think that's all you can ask for. And it's certainly, you speak of vibes, it's a different vibe across the board to, you know, earlier in the season.
Oh, yeah. No, you can really feel the momentum building. And look, you know, without, well, no, actually absolutely completely patting ourselves on the back, our preview of that game, like, we nailed it, Mix. We give yourself a pat on the back. What do we talk about? We talked about how important Sard and McKenna were going to be to creating that drive off halfback and beating them with outside run. Tick. We talked about how important Zach Clark's game would be in the ruck against Todd Goldstein. Tick. We talked about the importance of Parrish. We talked about Mitch Brown playing a role up forward. I said he kicked three. I stuffed up. He only kicked two. But
worked. Well, I said Stringer was going to kick five, so I was a little bit off.
You're a little bit more off. Don't talk us down. But Dylan Clark as well. We talked about the importance of his tagging role, likely tagging role on Ben Cunnington. Tick. You know, Cunnington ended up with 15 disposals. His season average is 28. And like we said, he was averaging twice as much contestable and clearances as any North teammate. So restricting him was absolutely fundamental to the result, as was Zach Clark, who was fantastic in the ruck.
Yeah, he really was. And it was a huge effort against Goldstein. We spoke last week about the season he's having. And just back on Dylan Clark at the moment, because we can't get enough of the Clarks, but he's become the modern-day Damien Peverill. When you look at his scalps since coming into the side, you know, it's been a who's who of ball winners and stars from the opposition. And although it was back in 2001 when Pev was doing it, was the same pattern every week, taking the big gun and nullifying their impact.
It's Clark mania around here, Megs, and in fact, I've been meaning to break it to you. Actually, Jay Clark's going to be taking over your role. I'm just kidding.
We
would never do that. He works for a rival club podcast, and we don't want him. We don't want him, Megs.
Let's talk about McKenna and Sard. Speaking of, you know, players and people that go together, I see they've attracted the name the Bounce Brothers as well, which I think is fantastic.
But who came up with that?
I don't know. I think it was on the Essendon website during the week. But
is that right?
They're continuing to wreak havoc. Is there a better halfback combo than those two in the league at the moment?
No, there isn't. To be perfectly frank, I don't like the Bounce Brothers. Come on. We can do better than that. We'll come up with an alternative name and we'll let you
it's
know.
It's a bit like the Bash Brothers, isn't it? That's where it's come from the Brisbane
Heat. Does everything have to have a nickname?
Yep.
Okay. we'll come up with one. But no, they are absolutely fundamental to Essendon's success, because they almost become like de facto midfielders, creating that runoff half back, and they both do it brilliantly. I mean, McKenna's moment in that last passage of play, how cool was that? You know, he works around his man, takes a bounce, if you don't mind, on the way, and then gets that ball into the top of the 50. So, look, Sardi, I reckon, you know, he's bordering on sort of all Australian consideration.
He has to
I reckon.
Be.
His last month has been absolutely outstanding. And the other big part of this the last few weeks, I reckon, is Marty Gleeson. He's just getting better each game he comes back, and we all know he's a critical part of that defensive setup.
Well, we can't finish up wrapping this massive win against North Melbourne without mentioning Anthony McDonald Tippenwooty.
Anthony McDonald Tippenwooty.
Loves footy.
And he runs and he runs and he runs.
Recorded a new career high, 12 contested possessions, of course, two nominations for Goal of the Year and the match winner. But found this on Twitter from Josh Kay, who is the stats man for Channel 7.
And very good stats man.
In 2019, 24 goals, 6 in wins, 1 goal, 1 in losses. We know he's the barometer of a successful Essendon side, and just continue to love seeing what he does each and every week. He is a cult hero and we love him.
What about, I've just got to say, that final goal, turning boundary side, so he's actually making the angle even tighter. I was actually surprised the ball didn't end up getting stuck between the post mix. Yes, I went with that old joke.
Time for a quick break. Up next, we'll be joined by Hayden Skipworth.
Colonial Brewing Co. Port Melbourne is the Bombers' home away from home. Join the Essendon faithful and cheer on the boys at the brewery as they take on the Crows on Friday night. If we run away with a win, Colonial are offering a free round on them.
Great to be joined by midfield coach Hayden Skipworth, a man who, of course, played for Essendon and Adelaide, but luckily for us, firmly on our side tomorrow night. Hayden, welcome to the Essential Listen.
Thanks for having us on. I was just wondering why it took to around 17, 18, 19 to get me on. Is that the pecking order? Or?
We thought we'd make sure the side was travelling okay so we could give you a cruisy run.
Thank you.
It's because Dan Jordan was on so early in the piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got your back up.
Just got pushed down the ladder a bit.
Well, it is the Hayden Skipworth Cup in some ways tomorrow night. I'm sure it seems a long time ago that you played for the Crows. You've been at the Bombers for a long time and in your second season as midfield coach.
Yeah, it's been... been obviously good to experience both clubs, both big clubs in their own right. So to go back home and see the friends and family is obviously a good thing, added bonus. But yeah, I'm well and truly at Cool Essendon, my home club, that's for sure.
There hasn't been a huge crossover between the two clubs, has there? You just made me think of Josh Jenkins and Chris Laddams.
Greg Anderson.
Oh, Greg Anderson, yeah. Of course. Who could forget a mullet
right?
Like that?
Yeah. Never forget.
So 44 games for the Crows, 11 for Essendon. Was coaching something that you ever thought about whilst you were playing?
Probably more back end of the career, sort of last year at Adelaide and a couple of years here, sort of probably more went down that path. I always love helping people in life, and it's sort of a good thing. I like footy and I like helping people, so it just seemed to be a good fit. So, yeah, that's sort of the path I've sort of gone down and continue to sort of go through the ranks in the coaching ranks.
A lot of coaches end up saying they really wish they'd had the knowledge of acquired as coaches when they were playing and think about how they might have approached things differently. Are you one of them?
Oh, definitely, yeah. That's what we're trying to do, is upskill these young guys as quickly as we can in the strategy and the craft and everything involved with the football. And obviously as a coach you live it more so than as a player. We're looking at games and vision flat out all the time. So my job is obviously to instill that knowledge as quickly as we can into these players.
Essendon VFL coach for a couple of successful years. How beneficial was it coaching your own team?
Unbelievable, yeah. To the experience of coaching your own team, I couldn't recommend it highly enough for a coach. I went through an interesting period as well. We had the last year of the Bendigo alignment and then the first year of starting up our own team. So being able to set your own culture and recruit your own players, as well as dealing with the existing relationship with Bendigo, which worked well for the time being that we had. It was just a fascinating time to go through it all and very grateful for the opportunity to be able to do that as well.
Let's talk about your role now. So midfield coach, as is James Kelly, you look after, this is a list we've got in front of us, Bell Chambers, Smith, Zach Clark, Merritt, Shields, Arrakis, Heppel, Myers and Stringer. Who's James Kelly look after?
He looks after the younger guys. So Langford, Parrish, yeah. McGrath, Guelphy, Draper. So the way it's set up is, obviously with James' experience and stuff, we worked very much hand in hand. I'm sort of more skewed to the older players, and he's obviously skewed to the younger players.
Okay. Is that, you haven't got a problem with youth or something, have you?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. Nah, not, definitely not.
Okay.
What about some of the guys that you coached in the VFL and have worked with kind of from the start of their Essendon journeys to now? Who are some of those players?
Yeah, so Paddy Ambrose was on the VFL list and came through the program, and Waller obviously as well. I had Waller for probably 3 or 4 years. Probably one of my most satisfying achievements in footy is to help him get on AFL list. To where he started, to where he come from was just enormous. Like, his body shape completely changed. English was his second language. We had to break down those barriers. And obviously moving off the island, which he'd done to Gippsland, but he hadn't done to Melbourne. So that was all these big things that were shifts in his life. To be able to help navigate through that with his mum, Jane, was been very rewarding.
So how do you feel then when he kicks the winning goal at the weekend against North Melbourne and you were coaching him? I remember him having a breakout game in the VFL at Windy Hill one day and just, you know, bursting onto the scene. How do you feel now seeing him win AFL games?
Proud, yeah, very proud. He's to him, his credit, he's done all the work and put in all the long hours, and he's done it tough. He hasn't been gifted anything. He's had to work his bum off to get where he is, and now he's getting some good rewards. So I'm just sit back as a proud supporter, like a lot of the Essendon supporters are.
You haven't mentioned his most notable achievement, having a punk song written about him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's gone viral, fed by Pickett Palace. Fantastic song. Hey, just on that last goal, I mean, it was obviously a huge moment, but I reckon, like a lot of Essendon supporters, the first thing I did was look at the time clock, 17 seconds left to go. Take us through your process at that moment as midfield coach. What are you thinking for that last centre bounce?
Yeah, so I'll take you back before that. When we're down, we had a boundary throw in on the wing. When we're down, obviously we're trying to score. So I think Sean McKernan was in the ruck at the time, hit the ball in the corridor to McGrath, a winger, got a little kick forward in the corridor, and we were set behind the ball. So we lost that contest and we had to drive it in to Stringer and Waller. So that was pleasing to be able to win that stoppage that needed to be won and obviously put us in front. And then that last centre bounce, we were in full defence mode, and our mids did a really good job locking down their mids inside.
Well, McGrath and Merritt were sensational,
super, and Shiel.
Three efforts from McGrath, I think.
Shiel as well. That first effort, and then he outnumbered on the wing as well. So to be able to win that contest and go forward and really ice the game, that was very pleasing to stand up and win those stoppages when we needed to.
Tell us a bit about how you've worked with Jake Stringer since his move into the midfield. You're giggling
Grey,
already.
Bald.
Talk about stress.
No, he's. I've known Jake since he was 15, so we go back a long way, and as probably a big reason him coming to the club was the relationship I had with him. So it was a pleasure to be able to work with him and same thing, help him through his life as well as being a football player. And he's been an enormous asset for the group and for the midfield. We're just continually building his tank so he can spend more and more time in the midfield. And we see him as in the mould as Dangerfield and Martin, the guy that can come in and really impact around the ball, go deep forward and impact on the scoreboard. So he's playing really consistent footy, and hopefully he's got some growth as well.
The other huge revelation in recent times has been Dylan Clark. Now, he played one game. He comes in first game, shuts down Paddy Cripps, then restricts Jager O'Meara. I think he played on Canelio and Kelly in the GWS game.
Yep.
And then he's done the job again on Cunnington. Did you guys, I suspect I know the answer here, did you guys have any idea he was capable of that, having that big an impact? Because surely if you were, he would have played sooner.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of, we weigh up everything. And to run with a target or not run with a target, obviously, if you run with a target, then that pushes Heppel and Shiel and Zach Merritt and these guys out of the midfield more. Mm. So you're weighing up that versus having someone shut down their best player. So we initially were just gathering data on what it looked like for the team as well as what it did for the midfield. And so far, we keep winning when we're playing with the Tiger. So, and he's doing a good job, so we'll keep rolling with it. So it doesn't mean we're going to do it every week and stuff from here on in, but it's certainly, we know that if there's a match up in the midfield, especially the bigger body inside mids he's suited to, he can get the job done for us. And to him, his credit, he's stuck at it. He's similar to Waller, hasn't had an easy ride. He's had to go back to the VFL, work on parts of his game. He's put the time in, and he's come in the team and perform straight away, which is a credit to himself.
Will Snelling arrived at the club as an established state league player, makes his debut tomorrow night in Adelaide, which is fantastic. But he's been a revelation, really, in the VFL side. How great a story is it that he makes his debut after being selected in the first ever mid-season draft?
It's fantastic, and obviously being from Adelaide as well, his family will be able to come. So, yeah, he's been a credit to himself around his preparation. He's been ready to go. He learnt the systems and structures really quickly, which was able his VFL form to be really solid for, you know, 5 or 6 weeks now. So he's really knocking down the door, and he's got an opportunity now. So ball's in his court to, you know, see if he can take it.
How do you feel generally the midfield's tracking, say, this season compared to last? I just dragged out a few KPIs off the rankings. So on the differentials, you ranked 5th for clearances, 8th for tackles, 9 for uncontestable, 10th for contestable. So, you know, they're okay numbers. Where does the improvement need to happen most, do you think?
Yeah, we're not focusing necessarily on being a heavy inside team. So the contestable stuff, you want to be competitive in that area, but we've been focusing on more having better balance and better shape around the contest, more loose ball stuff. So if teams are getting us, it's quick kicks out of mess, not getting the ball to the outside into space. So we're sort of live with the contestable stuff. Obviously, the clearance stuff has been a genuine positive for the team. With, I think, 3rd for clearance differential and centre bounce, and only a couple off the top. And that's the key stoppage wins that we track. Obviously, with a 6-6-6 rule, it's much easier to score from those clearances. So we're holding up pretty well as far as clearance differential and scores from clearances. We're doing okay as well. So we're around the top mark, which is where we want to be. We don't put all of our energy into clearances. There's obviously the turnover game and all these other factors we've got to weigh up as well. So we're happy with how we're tracking at the moment.
I've got one more bone to pick on an individual level. Now, everyone's got their favourite players, haven't they? I know a lot of Essendon supporters are partial to Kyle Langford. I like Kyle.
Yep.
He seems to go out pretty regularly, and I thought supporters were going to riot when he got dropped before the Sydney game. Came back in, of course, after Hep was the late withdrawal. But where's he at? Why can he not seem to sort of be given, say, 6-7 weeks without interruption to really prove himself and build that confidence?
Yeah, he played back end of the year. I think he played probably 12-13 games straight, and then he's probably played up until today, probably same 12-13 games straight. So he has had some consistency in selection. I guess with Clark coming in and taking an inside mid role, that's another one that sort of squeezes. And like I said, that's the flow-on effect of playing a Tiger, is someone has to get squeezed. And for Heppel coming back, it was another inside mid, big inside mid coming in. So it was either him or Clark, and Clark was doing a good job. So that, unfortunately, it was him that sort of was going to miss that week. But we'd love to keep him in. We think he's a super part of our future and a super talent as well. He can obviously go forward and similar to Jakey, an impact forward as well. So hopefully we can keep him in, and his form warrants being kept in the same as well.
Hayden, before we let you go to Adelaide, a quick one to wrap up. We hear a lot about how John Worsfold empowers his assistant coaches. What does that look like for you?
It gives me great flexibility and creativeness with designing stoppage structures. The way I coach, he lets me be authentic and not sort of have to coach the way he wants me to coach. So he's massive on certainly he's the furthest thing from a micromanager. He sort of gives you your full autonomy, and he backs you in, and as long as you keep him informed of what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve, and he'll question and challenge you along the way, he's very comfortable in letting you go about it your own way.
What's the philosophical boundary that sits within, because he is the senior coach, so I mean he can't you know, if he was to say to all you guys, just go and do what you want, there'd be no point having a senior coach. So, what, you know what I mean? Like, what is the sort of philosophy within which you work
It's within the boundary, within the flag. So yeah. You've got full autonomy within these flags.
What are the flags?
They're different for different things. As long as it's myself, Rob Harding and Ben Rutner on the same page with how we want to defend,
yeah.
You know, does the stoppages complement that? How we want to move the ball, does the stoppages complement that? So it's really making sure us three are on the same page. We're all clear with how we want to play and what we stand for. And then it's him green lighting it, essentially.
Hayden, it's been awesome to chat with you. We know you've got a bus to jump on and a flight to Bob. Thank you for your time. It's been fantastic. We'll be back after the break to preview Friday night's big game against the Crows.
Snello's going to make his game.
Yeah!
Well, beautiful moment there for our newest debutant, Will Snelling. Head to snnfc.com.au to check it out. Now, Megs, I know you've watched Snelling closely in the VFL. What are you expecting him to bring to the table Friday night?
I'm expecting his addition into the team to just be seamless. He is ready for senior football. We know he's played one AFL game already. That was with Port Adelaide when he was on the rookie list. But it's really one of the great stories of the mid-season draft because he arrived here as an established State League player, as we discussed with Hayden Skitworth a bit earlier. He's been fantastic in the VFL, earned his spot, mature body, and he's ready to go. He knows where the ball is, and I think he's going to thrive playing in front of a home crowd.
So if we're, you know, writing a thumbnail sketch, is he more sort of inside than outside, combination of both, ball use, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, probably a bit of a combination. Last week against North Melbourne, he spent some time forward as well, which has certainly been part of his development at VFL level. So he's versatile, and I think it's a good time that he comes into the side. And yeah, he certainly is going to offer a lot.
Well, it's certainly a game that presents a sizeable challenge for him, but the rest of the Bomber lineup as well, because the Crows, well, they just made hay while the sun shone last week against Gold Coast. They just put them away very easily. 95-point win. Really good confidence builder for them. Eddie Betts, 6 goals. He was on fire. And it's at Adelaide Oval where our record hasn't been great, really, has it? So challenges are there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big result for the Crows last week, not just in terms of the scoreboard, but they would have been frustrated, disappointed, angry with their display the previous week against Port. So it gives them some confidence. Eddie Betts, as you said, 6 last week. Jenkins, 4. Walker, 3. We know Michael Hurley's out. He's having surgery on that AC joint. But Ambrose is going to be so important should he come into the side because, in Hurley's absence, it's going to be a busy night, you would imagine, down there with some big tolls.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're speaking here before selection, but it appears like Tom Lynch, Alex Keith, Brodie Smith and Luke Brown are all potential inclusions for the Crows. Now, Smith is an All-Australian, but Lynch would be a key one as well. That would reunite the forward troika of Walker, Jenkins and Lynch. So the matchups there are pretty critical, aren't they? And that's where we really miss Michael Hurley. I would have thought Ambrose probably the likely opponent for Tex Walker. Hooker on the probably stronger bodied Josh Jenkins.
Yep.
Which leaves Lynch, who is a valuable link man really between that midfield and forward, doesn't necessarily play as a key forward. So I'm wondering if Marty Gleeson might end up getting the job on Tom Lynch. But they are clearly significant matchups which have to be worked out for the defence.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just touched on Eddie Betts. Adam Saad kept him goalless in the corresponding game last year. So that is a huge matchup.
Just on that corresponding game, sorry, I've got to get this in, but like, this must be one of the longest gaps between two sides playing each other again ever. Round 1, 2018 to round 18. Now, you know when something was a long time ago and you're doing that comparison, the obvious question there is how much was a carton of milk in round 1, 2018? Ask me.
How much was a carton of milk in round 1, 2018?
5 shillings. actually worked on that one, so I'm glad you laughed. But it is an incredibly long gap, isn't it?
It's a bloody long time, that's for sure. Ambrose trained strongly this morning. We're recording on Thursday. The big news too, Dyson Heppel will hopefully play, and given the performance last week, particularly in the midfield against a physical Kangaroos opponent in there, it's going to be a big inclusion again this week.
Yeah, now another big, we're going to probably say this every week, another big responsibility is for Dylan Clark, you know, who just has now a string of subdued opponents. This one is an interesting one. I don't think his opponent in the midfield this week is necessarily as obvious as the others, because you've got Brad Crouch, you've got Matt Crouch, and you've got Rory Sloane. Now, they each rack up the touches. I wonder who would be his most likely target. I suspect, and I'm not saying this with any certainty, but I suspect perhaps Rory Sloane. He's been a bit prone to be subdued by taggers before. I think the Crouch brothers are always going to pick up the swag of touches. Sometimes they don't necessarily have as much impact with those touches, whereas if Sloane gets 30, you know that he's used it to pretty reasonable effect too. And I'm pretty sure Sloane is also their number one contested possession winner and clearance winner. So for mine, Dylan Clark goes to Rory Sloane.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. Brad Crouch in career best form, which has been great to see, really, given that he's had so many injuries over the last couple of years. But a club record 16 tackles last week against the Suns. His brother Matt, 36 disposals. Malera had 27, Atkins 35, Led 30. So, yes, it was in a big win over the Gold Coast, but they do have proven ball winners there, and I think that bodes for a really fascinating matchup in the middle.
Good challenge for our forward setup too. I think given the likely return of both Keith and Smith. Now, Alex Keith has had an outstanding season for the Crows and has really taken over that sort of intercept defender role that Jake Levy used to do, and then Tom Doty was doing that for them before he got injured. So that's a big plus for them. Brody Smith, you know, All-Australian halfback, creates plenty of drive in conjunction with Rory Laird. So, you know, theirs is a defence that negates pretty well, but it also creates a lot of attack for them too. So it has to be watched both from an offensive and defensive perspective.
Time for our final calls. Predictions for Friday night footy against the Crows. Row, give me your result, best on ground and big call.
All right. My result my official comment here, Megs, is going to be tough. I think it's going to be, I think the margin either way will be a kick or less. So sorry if you've got a dodgy heart. A fourth week in a row, it's going to be tested. Yours?
Essendon will take the record to 4 wins by 10 points or less, defeating the Crows by 2 points. Zach Merritt for best on ground and Adam Sard to bounce Eddie Betts.
I thought we were going to do this one by one, so you've now just completely cut my lunch. My best on ground is Zach Merritt, as above, and my big call is Adam Sard.
Copycat from Ballarat.
How many goals did you say for Betts?
I didn't.
Well, I think you should. Come on.
2.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Sure you did. I'm the one from Ballarat. I don't know why you're being the copycat.
I'm from East Malvern. Does that count?
Copycat from East Malvern.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the same buzz about it.
Oh, well, we'll see who comes out on top next week, Ro. Looking forward to a huge contest against the Crows. Let's take a quick break and wrap up with all the VFL and VFLW news and Rowan's Song of the Week when we return.
Well, another week, another win for our top-of-the-table VFL Bombers, who made it 6 straight with a 50-point win over North Melbourne at Windy Hill. Megs, this team is firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, they're in tip-top form, Ro, that's for sure. An even contribution to blow away the Roosers. They got within 20 points in the final term, and there's no doubt North Melbourne's season ledger in the VFL doesn't really reflect their form across the season, that's for sure. But a big tick for the team's depth, had only 13 senior listed Bombers, with Kobe Much missing, and Michael Hartley and Braden Ham were held over as senior emergencies.
Well, probably one of the biggest pluses, the return after a month off through injury of Tom Jock, and pretty impressive, 15 disposals, 6 clearances, 3 tackles from limited game time. Also spent some time in the ruck and on the wing, and I saw a little bit of him in action, actually, up against North Melbourne's Tom Campbell, who's pretty experienced, so good experience for our Tom.
Definitely, and with Draper out for the year, he'll get some more time in the ruck as the season continues. A bye for the VFL Dons this week. The Essential Listen's own Dan Jordan, the coach, is spending a week with the All Blacks as one of the club's recipients of the Ron Evans Leadership Grant, and I think we'll be catching up with DJ again over the next couple of weeks.
I'm going to be really interested to ask him what sort of mood the entire country was in after that debacle of a finish to the World Cup final.
Jeepers, we could spend a whole podcast talking about that, couldn't we, Ro? But let's move on to our VFL women. They had a practice match against GWS at the Hangar last week. They're currently sitting in 10th position and chasing their third victory of the season this week when they take on Darabin.
Yeah, well, challenges there too without two best midfielders. Of course, Courtney Ugel has a broken leg and Hayley Bullis a knee injury. They're out for the rest of the season. Real test of our depth, I guess. Ellie Anderson, though, will play.
That is good news. The VFLW is at Windy Hill on Saturday at midday, so get along and watch our Bombers in action. Well, thanks for listening to another big episode of The Essential Listen, but we can't wrap up without Rowan's Song of the Week.
And we won't be wrapping up without Rowan's Song of the Week. Now, I stress, this isn't all about my preferences in music, Megs, as will become clear as soon as you hear this one. I thought, what's the theme for this week? Well, we're on the road again. And what does that make you think of? Of course, it makes you think of Willie Nelson. Hopefully this road trip's going to end with a better result than the last one did. And I thought maybe this jaunty little country number might help inspire the boys to a great win against the Crows on Friday evening. We'll see you next week.
Yeehaw! We're the best.